Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health. Please send me an email. You have to go to the website, www.herbstoyourhealth.net, and click on Contact Patty. Then I get an email. I'll answer it. Our phone number at the shop is 724-836-7440. And our phone number, should you wish to call, is 724-836-7440. Heard a success story in the past week. For 4 years, this gentleman got injections for a bulge disc in his low back. Okay, never mind my telling him that it heals. I mean, you know, the body heals. Anyway, for the past year, he has been faithfully taking the supplements recommended by yours truly, and he has had zero pain. Guess what? His knee pain diminished and his A1C went down. Well, of course it did. If you have healthy bones, you have healthy joints and muscles. And if you have all that, you are mobile. If you don't have healthy bones, you don't have healthy muscles or joints, and your mobility and stability may be impaired. So let's talk about the acid-alkaline balance or imbalance, whichever. The imbalance is metabolic acidosis. It means your body is in survival mode. 80% of people are in survival mode with their bodies. Few have chosen the path to thrive, sadly. Good nutrition and essential bone building nutrients are supplements. And supplementation is obligatory. Your attitude contributes to your epigenetic lifestyle and your well-being. Always remember that less than 8% of your lifetime health is determined by your genetics. 92% is determined by your epigenetics or your lifestyle. Osteopenia is the loss of bone mineral density that weakens bones. Osteoporosis is more severe bone loss that weakens bones and makes them more likely to fracture. Sarcopenia is the gradual loss of muscle mass and strength and function. 50% of people over 80 have severe sarcopenia. So the best thing to do is repair what we can, reverse what we can, repair what needs to be repaired. If you want to prevent metabolic acidosis and an epigenetic lifestyle, you know what foods to eat to prevent acidosis. If you want to contribute to acidosis, meat is number one on the list. Maybe not, but it's pretty high up there. But when you promote an epigenetic lifestyle, you add years to your life and life to your years. There are 2 million fractures a year. Half of women and 25% of men suffer bone fractures. So we want to build bone and strengthen density with the supplements at Herbs to Your Health. Bones are a marvel of nature, quite dynamic. You know, they feel nice and hard there, if you feel your forearm there. But they're quite dynamic. Osteoblasts are making new bone, and osteoclasts are remodeling and recycling bone in a continuous process. Did you know that babies are born with more bones, but they fuse by the age of 25? The femur in your leg there is the strongest bone. Hands have 27 bones. And toe bones, and you may know this through experience, are the most fragile. Let's see, I think I was in my 40s. I ran into the bathtub with my foot, just, unknowingly. Broke three bones. I think they were three broken bones in my foot. Didn't think anything of it. It was winter time. I, put shoes and socks on, got in my car, and I was driving an hour to my destination, and I couldn't believe the pain. It was like coming up my whole, I was like, my whole, it hurts up to my knee. It was unbelievable. So I didn't go to a doctor, but I'm pretty sure I had three broken bones. So you know what I did? Back then we had healing AC cream, I think that's what it was called. It, arnica and calendula. So I slathered my toes in that and wrapped them up, and it really, really helped. And plus, of course, I took all my supplements. The oldest bones in your body are 10 years old. So you're not aging, you're renewing. Bones are continuously receiving osteogenic stem cells and osteocytes that maintain bone density and osteoclasts, which absorb old, worn-out bone. This happens all the time. We don't have to direct our bodies to do it. It's the miracle of the human body, one of them. No part of you is more old than your bone, which is 10 years old. So enjoy the fact that your body is already renewing and rejuvenating and always renewing and rejuvenating. Bones are adapting and self-repairing. As I said, bones, no bones are more than 10 years old, so that means that the entire skeleton is replaced every 10 years. Bones adapt to the loads put on it, so we must bear weight, which to me, the best weight-bearing exercise is walking downhill. I'm sorry, uphill, but then you have to walk downhill, but then you have to walk uphill again if you live where I live. Every moment, more than 2 million small pieces of weakened bone are dissolved, recycled, and new bone is laid down. So at Herbst Your Health, we believe in physiology before pharmacology. And the gentleman I just told you the story about said, well, I have my main doctor, he has several, but his main doctor says, better living through chemistry. And I said, yeah, well, I think biology is more important. I say, if it's been invented in the last 100 years, steer clear of it. And that's every single drug on the market. So, to use biology and physiology, we correct the acid-alkaline balance. We understand the need for antioxidants like vitamin C and Tygo and Super Orac. And then we want to correct any neurohormonal imbalance. The daily acid load that you have consumed, or if you're fraught with worry, that's creating an acidic environment in your body. Anyway, it's either excreted or neutralized by minerals for survival. By design, the nature's design, most acids produced in the body are either buffered or excreted. When you're healthy and you're a person with low stress and low toxic exposure, that's what happens. Sometimes it may takes months to correct a deficit of minerals. Magnesium corrects it. Minerals are stored in the bones. So 99% of the body's calcium, 80 to 90% of the body's magnesium, and 35% of the body's sodium are stored in the bone. Very little of the body's potassium is stored there. So maintaining a slightly alkaline body is good news for bones and the whole body, actually. You have increased bone formation and bone loss is halted, and that was proven by a 5-year study. So I say start it in the kitchen. Avoid ultra-processed food altogether. eat as organically as possible. Take your herbs. garlic, ginger, broccoli, cauliflower, and eggs are really good things to eat daily. We need 60 to 80 grams of protein per day. So if you're talking about a hunk of meat, it'll fit in your hand. Most people contribute to their acidosis by eating too much protein. I remember the guy who had no teeth and said he eats steak for three meals a day. I had a lot of questions when he told me that, but I didn't ask them. Nature, nurture, and wholeness is really the way to go. Magnesium is central to bone health and, of course, disc health. Skeletal strength is very key to, it's for bones, tendons, ligaments, discs, muscles, skin. Skeletal strength must be taken every single day, I think, if you want to have healthy bones and connective tissue. Magnesium is central to improving bone density, especially the hip. Magnesium decreases fracture risk, it prevents bone loss, and a deficiency can cause lead and cadmium and other toxic heavy metal contamination. So remember, when you put in the good stuff, it excretes the bad stuff. It displaces toxic minerals. So follow a lifestyle program, an epigenetic lifestyle program. It'll stop 80% of the toxins before the negativity affects the body. Environmental toxins are added to foods. 21 major crops like corn have persistent organic pollutants or POPs and pesticides, etc. When I talked to the farmer years and years ago at the stand that I go to, the fresh vegetable stand, he said that everything you could consider to be organic that he grows except the corn. And P.S., that's when I stopped eating corn. Because if you can't trust it, can't eat it. Toxins disrupt bone metabolism, increase risk of fracture and osteoporosis. So put the good in. The good removes the bad. We need chelators to remove toxic metals like MegaCal, indole-3-carbinol, vitamin C. We really have overburdened immune systems. So, Nature's Harvest, if you start off in the blender with liquid chlorophyll, aloe vera juice, and then Avia, Nature's Harvest, and whatever else you want to put in, you can put in organic frozen blueberries and strawberries if you want. It's really a great idea to start your day. Stress, of course, is harmful to bones. Vitamin C is the universal antitoxin, antioxidant. It maintains skeletal mass and, of course, vitamin D3. Could I please ask everyone who's listening, all seven of you, the Magnificent Seven, if you haven't already done so, please go to Google and Google Herbs to Your Health. And there's a Google business page. You can put a review. So please put a 5-star review there. I only have one bad one, and it was from some time ago. I don't even remember. I remember the gentleman, but I can't tell you anything else about him. He came in and he said, I have SIBO, which is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. I said, well, I guess you could call it that, but it's a little more complicated. So I told him to take, I said, do you take probiotics? That was one of the recommendations. And he said, I something ridiculous like I take one every other day. And I said, well, that's almost spitting in the ocean. It's not quite, but I did say it's kind of like spitting in the ocean. So that was what his review included, that I said that. I know I said it. But he said taking a lot of probiotics made his small intestine bacterial overgrowth worse. It can't do that. It absolutely can't do that. I'll tell you what'll do it. And a diet of overprocessed or extremely processed foods or eating out all the time. Okay, so the rest of the story is that when I found it out, I told some people who are in the know about computers. Personally, I know enough about computers to be dangerous. And so the one person found the guy, no name, of course, but he gave everybody a bad review, but she was laughing. She said, it's the pizza place, it's the Chinese food place. She said they're all like fast food places, and the cleaners was another one, and I think the guy who gave him an oil change. So he didn't have anything good to say about anybody. But you know, how can you give a bad review about something if you're not eating the food? Anyway, SIBO is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's dysbiosis, an imbalance of the trillions of bacteria that take up residence in the gut. Bacteria colonize all sections of the alimentary canal, that's the mouth to the end, and most are found in the large intestine, also known as the colon. So when people go get surgery and say they had, you know, a bowel resection or a colon resection, or they're taking out parts of the tube that, you know, I would say, it was put in there, so it must have a use. So anyway, in the large intestine or the colon, bacteria assist in the final step of the digestive labyrinth and prepare waste matter for elimination. The small intestine is where your food intermingles with digestive juices and nutrients, and then the nutrients go into the bloodstream. It's not a place where bacteria have much of a role. In fact, as in the case with SIBO, their presence can cause a lot of harm. So you don't have to worry when you take a good probiotic. It doesn't even like be activated or open up even until it gets to where it's supposed to get. So there's, anyway, it's bad bacteria that are in the small intestine. Bacteria are living organisms, and high numbers in your small intestines means there are mouths at the table competing for your dinner. When there's not enough nourishment to be had, they turn to the next best thing, your intestinal lining. Yum, yum. The result is increased permeability, also known as leaky gut syndrome, whereby larger food particles, instead of just essential nutrients, seep into the bloodstream. The downwind effect is often systemic inflammation, autoimmunity. Most autoimmune, if not all autoimmune diseases, can be traced to the gut. Although you can have a leaky gut, an autoimmune disease without SIBO, it's not unusual for these conditions to be a package deal. But it's unwanted bacteria. So you're getting, if you're eating a diet of fast food or not food that's not prepared in your kitchen, that's not organic, that's maybe from recipes from the 60s, you know what I'm talking about here? That's a good way to get bad bacteria. The small intestine was not designed to withstand the buildup. It gets trapped. So then you have flatulence or burping. You can also experience nausea from slowed stomach emptying and irritable bowel syndrome. Since 90% of your serotonin is made in the gut, a damaged intestinal tract also means descending into an inexplicable fog of depression or feeling as if your life is being run by a humming undercurrent of anxiety. So I'm going to say that that can happen even if you do everything right. So let's do everything right anyway. One more thing I wanted to add was that, you know, this the diabetic drug that people use for weight loss, you know, there people were telling me, yeah, I did that, I lost weight, but now I can't digest anything because it causes gastroparesis, which means that the muscles of your stomach don't work anymore. That's a terrible thing. So what we do for SIBO is, what doctors do is antibiotics. That's medical malpractice, in my opinion. But what we want to do is probiotics, of course. Probiotics kind of get a bad rap. I got a bad review. But that's what we need. Ginger is great. We want to stimulate the vagus nerve for better digestion. So gastro health, food enzymes or proactazyme or PDA, protein digestive aid, probiotic 11 or 11 elevated, Uña de Gato, CLTX, intestinal soothe and build, super algae, I could go on, but those are all things that will help. And over time, seriously, over time, the body heals. When people say, how long do I need to take these? It's up to you, folks. How long do you want to feel healthy? How long do you want to live? Okay. Next story comes from a 47-year-old woman. I've known her, I'm going to say, about 20 years. So she told me ages ago, and you know, just recently it came up again, about a birth defect she had. A doctor told her when she was a teenager that both of her hips would need to be replaced by age 40. So here she is at 47. She said, oh, my hip really hurts, my back hurts. Chiropractor said, it's not my back, it's my hip. Just one is really bad, the other one's not so good either. So she went to an orthopedic surgeon who told her, are you ready? No problem with your hips. Keep doing what you're doing. So she believes in the healing power of supplements. And I hope you're not listening, but if you are, we both know that you're not a very diligent supplement taker, but it's your choice. Hey, no judgments. I'm just observing. I'm just saying with the times that she took the supplements, they helped her. So even if you don't do a good job, your body's still going to benefit. Skeletal strength, vitamin C, everybody needs those too. And then you can add joint support and krill oil and probiotic 11. Vitamin D3, which vitamin D3 is good for a lot more than just bones and joints. Since the discovery of the vitamin D3 receptor in the 1980s, well, it was the discovery of it to help cardiovascular issues. Research continues to explore the relationship between vitamin D3 and cardiovascular health. Hey, they can research all they want. I just, you know, the first time I heard about it, I was sold. I said, okay. Intuitively, I felt it was true and correct. So, you know, everybody has intuition. Feel it or don't feel it. If you feel resistant to something, don't force yourself to do it, because you might be sorry you did. Anyway, studies have demonstrated that vitamin D3 reduces cardiovascular inflammation, and There was a new study recently published in the British Medical Journal. It featured more than 21,000 participants aged 69 to 84. Yeah, they didn't call them elderly, did they? I don't know if they did or not. anyway, they had strokes or heart attacks or, you know, they had problems. Participants were followed for up to 5 years, and the intervention group received 2,000 IUs of vitamin D3 daily. Anyway, the kind of the bottom line here was that even if you weren't low in vitamin D3, it still helped you to take it on a daily basis. So somebody asked me recently, why do we take zinc, and do I have to take it every day, or do I just take it during cold and flu season? Well, you know when cold and flu season is? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Anyway, there was this thing called the Good Health Study, and what they said that is that zinc, as we know, is a trace element that plays a key role in many biological processes. We don't store zinc in the body, so we must take it regularly. It has to be supplied in the diet. 31.5% of the population falls short of the recommended intake, which I don't even know what that is, and that's probably paltry. So the importance of an adequate zinc supply in relation to mental health and the immune system was underlined by the data of this Good Health Study. A good zinc supply is associated with a 25% better protection against anxiety, can reduce the risk of depression by 26%. Good zinc levels correlate with better psychological well-being. Participants with an above average zinc supply had 41% fewer infections. So it's really one of the most important trace elements for us as humans. So let's just take, you know, just think about it. Take your vitamin C, take your zinc, and think about Linus Pauling when you do, because he said taking vitamin C and zinc shorten the duration of colds. Maybe you experienced that, and maybe you didn't, but it's like putting your seatbelt on when you get in your car. It reduces the risk that something bad's gonna happen. So we don't feel like we don't have any control over our health. Same person, every time she comes, which isn't that often, I don't know, maybe once or twice a year, she says, tells me the story of, you know, that this person in the family with cancer, this person with this disease, whatever. And she said, has a small child, and she always says, I'm so worried I'm going to get a disease and die, and my child won't have a mother anymore. Why would you even put that thought out into the universe? Cancel the thought. Say something positive, replace it with a positive thought, and then do something positive. Take your supplements. So I don't think she takes supplements. I can't be certain of that, but you know, if you do, you have confidence and you can be optimistic about today and the future. If someone or anyone, like people start off a conversation, somebody told me, and when I hear that, you know, somebody told me, I know what comes out of their mouth is going to be preposterous. So somebody, who told you that? And then they are quiet. But anyway, if someone or anyone tells you that your vitamin B levels are too high, think about that statement. Just for a moment, because we don't want to dwell in negativity, But it is preposterous. First of all, the B complex vitamins are water soluble. That means they leave your body every day. If your vitamin B levels are high, your urine turns bright yellow. It's the B's leaving your body. We need B vitamins. We need B vitamins to support the body's self-healing mechanisms. The body is designed to maintain homeostasis or balance. So what happens when you throw the body out of balance? Well, you get heart disease, arthritis, or any or all of the chronic so-called diseases of aging. In the world of natural health, illness or disease is deemed to result from toxicity, you know, too much of the bad stuff, and lack or depletion, not enough of the good stuff. So there is also the mind-body-spirit component. Processed food, ultra-processed food, weighs heavily in the toxic category. So when you stop consuming something harmful, and I read an article just in the past week about pregnant women. So the picture was a super pregnant woman, like, you know, 6-8 months pregnant, and said she, the conclusion of the article was that if you eat organic foods and only organic foods for 1 week, the level of toxins in your body drops dramatically. That's just 1 week. So when you stop consuming something harmful, your body will naturally begin to release and detoxify and find its balance, its homeostasis. I know many of you, probably all 7 of you, are already on this journey and are quite conscious of what you eat, drink, listen to, read, who you hang out with. But I continue to be astounded to find all kinds of people who appear to be oblivious to this information. It's really important, you know, everything you consume, which is not only what you eat and drink, you know, it's all that other stuff too. It's your thoughts. You know, are you doing everything right, but you spend all your days worrying? Well, that's not a good thing either. P.S. There's nothing to worry about. You just stay in the now moment. And then if something happens, you can do something about it, you do something about it. If you can't do anything about it, you got to get it out of your mind. So spiritual tools help us to do that. Anyway, if we can bring ourselves into alignment with natural law, wonderful results happen at all levels of our being. One of my purposes in doing podcasts is to lay a foundation for you to use in creating the life you desire. We all want health and vitality. So the mechanic I take my car to said, yeah, your car's getting pretty old. And I said, I love this car. I don't want to ever get rid of it. And he said, I don't know, someday you're going to have to get a new car. I said, well, what kind of car would I get? I don't even know. And he said, you get a car that you like to drive. So many people say, you know, bring their car in and say, I've been driving this car for 6 years. I've hated it every 6 years. It's out of warranty. Now they're taking it to the mechanic. He said, I can't tell you how many people say, I bought this car because I thought it was a good idea. I didn't like it, and I don't like to drive it. So I say eat what you like. And I'm thinking of my own experience as a younger person. You know, you ate these foods, you ate these foods. Or what? I remember the diet I went on in high school. I had to eat cottage cheese. Literally, it gagged me. So why would I eat that? Okay, eat what you like within reason. 80 to 90% of the time, eat all the things that you like. Okay, and I'm kind of out of time. It's my self-imposed 30-minute time frame, but I want to tell you about, this was the headline, merely anticipating stress is aging. It was a study, and it was, okay, in addition to the negative effect that experiencing stress has on telomeres, research reveals that anticipating a stressful event is also associated with a reduction in telomere length. And we know that the telomeres are protective caps at the end of chromosomes that shorten with age and are a marker of cellular aging. This is a quote. The doctor who authored the study said, "We are getting closer to understanding how chronic stress translates into the present moment. As stress researchers, we try to examine the psychological process of how people respond to a stressful event. And we're making strides in that." So they say that it suggests that the major forms of stress in your life may influence how you respond to more minor forms of stress. And they, their examples are losing your keys, getting stuck in traffic, blah, blah, blah. I say, you know, if you constantly lose your keys or you constantly lose stuff, you're not focused on the present moment. When you focus on the present moment, you'll never lose another thought. Well, I don't know about that, but it'll be rare. So the bottom line is, don't worry about upcoming stressful events. Merely anticipating stress is aging all of us. So just stay in the now moment. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully I will be back with you next Saturday. Bye.